You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Masagwiza, good afternoon. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon.
All right. I can hear you. We can hear you, but it seems like our line is a little bit...
Hello?
Our line is cutting a little bit. Hello, Pastor. Can you hear me clearly?
Loud and clear.
I can hear you clearly now as well. Perfect. Thank you so much for joining us, Pastor. We appreciate your time this afternoon. It's always a pleasure hearing from you. We're used to hearing you on the morning program when you're sharing your short devotions with us
sure.
in the morning. Thank you so much for making time.
Pleasure and privilege also. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Me to take also at the throne of grace from...
Pastor, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, I can hear you as well. All right, so let's get straight into our conversation, Pastor, about these spiritual realms and these spiritual beings. What are some of the different types of angels that are mentioned in the Bible?
From the Bible, different orders are named of angels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we read in Ezekiel chapter 10, verses 19 and 20 of the cherubim. Such as those that were dispatched to guard the gates of Eden at the demise of Adam and Eve.
Right.
But in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 26, we are also given the name of Seraphim, the Seraphim. The word Seraphim actually means the burning ones.
Okay.
And these are those that are said to be present at the throne of God. Mm. And they are always seen by prophets in the visions.
Mm.
Paul refers to... the principalities, the powers, the rulers of this world, and the spiritual hosts of wickedness in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. And I think it's also important for me to mention quickly that not all angels are good.
Right.
Neither are they all bad.
Right.
Yes, there are some angels that were led into rebellion, as we all may know, and those were cast out of heaven. And that's according to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. So those that we cast out are called demons. Sometimes they're referred to as devils or unclean spirits, as in Matthew chapter 8, verse 16.
Mm.
So by and large, those are the orders that were given of angels in the Bible.
Mm.
So sometimes they're also referred to as hosts,
yes.
as you have already alluded to
yes.
when you introduced the lesson, that they are called hosts. And let me be quick to, you know, given the time, to point out that somebody may ask, who are the hosts?
Mm.
You know, the scriptural usage of this word points to the angels as representing the host over which God is Lord.
Mm, okay.
And these angels, they're so-called hosts because they surround the throne of God and they do his bidding. And occasionally, people have seen angels and they've recognized in them a power that is available for their protection.
Right.
And many other things. Mm.
Interesting. I've always wondered about that, like actually seeing angels. And I've wondered, because you know how it is. Sometimes you watch so many movies and TV and you start wondering how much of my perception has been skewed by the entertainment industry, and now I'm expecting to see they must look a certain way or they must talk a certain way. And so I've wondered about those who've actually had those personal encounters with angels, but I'm sure we're going to get into that at some point during the week. But the next question here would be, how do angels contribute to God's mission in the world?
In the world, yes. Like I've already alluded to, that they are good angels, which certainly are the angels that are loyal and belong to God. They are God's emissaries.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the term, the word for angel comes from the Hebrew word malak, or the Greek term angelos.
Mm.
They both refer to messengers, you know, by definition.
Mm-hmm.
Both malak in Hebrew and the Greek angelos, they mean messengers. And a messenger is a human, a person that is dispatched as an emissary.
Mm.
You know, so So now coming back to your question now on what how they contribute to mission.
Yes.
Certainly being emissaries, God's emissaries, being God's messengers that are dispatched for the purpose of saving. Angels are there to guide us in making rightful decisions in life in terms of when you are convicted of wrongdoings, you know, to turn up to God. You know, the line is very thin. I think that's one thing that has confused so many people.
Yeah.
Of the ministry of angels as well as the working of the Holy Spirit.
Mm, mm.
Now, the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. God convicts, God convinces us of our unrighteousness.
Yep.
And also helps us to turn to Him for salvation.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, angels, they minister to us. They minister to our daily needs. They minister to our, you know, they give us protection when we are in danger. There are many times you and I can testify, or you may have heard people saying that, my instinct told me this.
Yes.
Or something within me
yes.
told me to look up.
Yeah.
And at that moment, when I looked up, I saw that the snake was about to strike me.
Hey.
There is nothing that it told you to look up except the angel, your guiding angel.
Mm.
And so we've also seen small kids, they walk through Johannesburg. Maybe somehow they missed their school bus. They missed their school bus, and there was no one at the gate from home to pick the child up. And the child decides now to walk through the Johannesburg town, going to home. And the child arrives home safely. People, they take the child to the bed. They say, this child is very clever, very intelligent.
Yeah.
Nothing. Is the guiding angel that took that child through the whole town and up to the home. So that is the ministry of angels. How often have we seen children, small little babes, you know, they don't say what they would be laughing, who they would be like playing. But the truth of the matter is that they would be playing there.
Oh, wow.
But the angels have a mission to accomplish in us, in as much as salvation is concerned. That is to speak to us, to convince our consciences, to avoid of certain things to avoid, and certain things to do that are right.
That's beautiful. And can we recognize them? Can we recognize when an angel is giving us a warning or trying to protect us in one way or another? Can we know that this was my angel speaking to me?
Definitely, like I already said, whatever convinces you to make a choice that is right, that is good, is of God. But remember that for everything of God, the devil is put against it account. Everything of God, there is a counterfeit for it.
Sure.
And so, when we have a choice, in fact, we all have a choice to do that which is good or to do that which is bad. And many times it is easy, you'll agree with me, that it's easy to do what is bad than to do what is good. You know, the edging is more on the side of doing what is bad.
Yes.
And the edging to do what is good comes from a still small voice.
Hey.
Not a louder, the drum beating one.
Mm.
This one is only naked on the side of doing what is bad.
Yeah.
That's where the drum beating is.
Yes.
But on the side of doing good, it's a still small voice. And that's how God works. That's the conviction of the angel. That's the conviction of the angel. So people, many a times we have to, you know, in the loud voices of our lives, we have to spare thought to listen to the still small voices because that's how God works through the angels.
Beautiful.
That still small voice that edges you. My son, my child, he is the way. Walk there. That's the connection of the Holy Spirit through the angels.
Now, what do angelic appearances in Scripture reveal to us now about God's care for His people? What are we to understand from the appearances that we see in the Scripture about how God cares for His people?
There are several descriptions in the Bible of angels appearing in their glory. In Daniel, for example, the 10th chapter, we read the prophet Daniel's description of Gabriel.
Hello, Pastor. Hello, Pastor.
No.
All right. It looks like we're having some issues with our network once again. Let's see if we can try and sort that out and continue this conversation. We're talking about angels. We're talking about these messengers of God. And the pastor was just about to share with us, based on some of the appearances that we see in the Bible regarding these angelic appearances in Scripture. And he was going to tell us how what they reveal about God's care for his people. And at this point, he had just started off by speaking about the incident that we see in the book of Daniel chapter 10 about the angel and how that reveals God's character and his care for his people. And so let's hear what the pastor had to say about that. Pastor Musagwiza, welcome back. You were speaking to us about Daniel chapter 10. Hello. And the appearance of the angel in that chapter.
Yeah, maybe let me come back. Let me make my point quickly. I see my network is a bit intermittent. Okay. Where I am.
Okay.
I'm saying angels are real. Mm-hmm. The point I wanted to make is that angels are real.
Mm-hmm.
And angels are not made up from our imagination.
Okay.
Let me read Daniel. Let me read Genesis chapter 18 and 19. We read of the appearance of angels to God's servant Abraham.
Mm.
And so the Bible says, so he, Abraham, took butter and milk and calf which he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the trees they ate. When you go to verses, chapter 19, verse 3, the Bible says, and when two angels visited Lot, he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. What's the point that I want to make here?
Mm.
The point I want to make here is that anyone who eats unleavened bread, butter, and roasted fuel, or even drinks milk, is certainly a real person. Is real in the sense that we understand reality.
Mm.
So it's true that angels can appear and disappear at will,
mm-hmm.
but they're not less. They're no less real. The example I can give you is that it is so with the element of water, for example.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Water at ordinary temperatures, it is a liquid. Mm-hmm. You will agree with me. Mm-hmm. At ordinary temperatures, water is a liquid.
Yeah.
But water can also become millions of tons of water float above us in the atmosphere,
mm.
especially in these scorching heats.
Yeah.
In this scorching heat that we are experiencing in Southern Africa. Under certain conditions, water also appears as steam. And when the weather is cold enough, water can be frozen into ice with almost the consistency of rock. Water is real in all these forms, in the form, in steam, in liquid, in vapor, in ice. Water is real in all.
All right, we're breaking up once again. Breaking up once again. Pastor, I think we've got you back. Hello, Pastor, can you hear me? Let's try and reconnect one more time, and hopefully we'll be able to complete our conversation. This is a very interesting one about angels, and he's just explaining the different forms in which they appear and the fact that they can be just as real as you and I. They can eat and drink just like you and I, or they can be the type that appear and disappear like we may have seen on, you know, in the movies or on television. But the an angel is an angel nonetheless. And so we're trying to reconnect with our pastor to get a deeper understanding on what their appearances in Scripture reveal about how God cares for his people. We seem to be having trouble now trying to reconnect because of tricky network, which is always a thing, especially in this weather. We thank God for the rain, but the rain also does kind of compromise the quality of our network. I think we have the pastor back online. Pastor?
Yes, so I was saying the Apostle Paul in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, he refers to Abraham's experience with the angels and says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares.
Mm.
So these angels, I want to urge the listeners that are listening right now, that these angels appeared as strangers at the tent door of Abraham.
Yeah.
But they are real. Mm. Angels are real.
Amen.
Yes, they are real.
Amen. And that was going to be my next question, that are guardian angels real? What is their biblical basis? Do I have that one specific angel that stays by my side. You've explained these ones that we see in the book of Genesis and all of that, but do I have one specific angel that is assigned to me from the day of my birth until I die? Do we have guardian angels?
As we speak right now, God's angels, the God's angel is by me, and it's also by you. The angel appointed to be my guiding and to be your guiding, they guide us through our lives. And they know all about us, and they're never far from us.
Amen.
They surround us with their sweet influence. They protect us from evil, as we read in chapter 34, verse 7 of Psalm. That the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. So every true child of God, even little children, are accompanied by the holy angels.
Amen.
There is a guiding angel for each. For we read in Matthew chapter 18, verse 10, that Matthew 18, 10 says, "Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." So the guiding angels of God's children have access to the very throne of God.
Amen.
So I look forward, you know, someday in that glorious land of eternity, it will be my privilege to see my guardian angel and know him and talk with him of the days gone by, of the dangers from which he has kept me, of the record of my life he has preserved.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Beautiful. That's beautiful. And as we close, how can understanding angels deepen our relationship with God?
This wonderful Bible truth that I've already given is a comforting, a blessed, a glorious revelation. Daniel chapter 6, Daniel chapter 3, 28, the one I wanted to read at that time. That the holy angel experience of old, God sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him. When you go to Daniel chapter 6, verse 22, the angel delivered Daniel from the lion's den. And Daniel even said, "My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth." Kings chapter 6, 16 and 17, when the army of the Syrians surrounded the little towns of the time, where the prophet Elijah was with his young assistant. I'm forgetting the name of his young assistant, but it's a common one. They were spending their night. Angels delivered them. You know, Elijah even exclaimed the prominent adage that, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." So it's so assuring. It's so assuring to realize that you may think that it's all alone, but when you pray, when you ask of God, God provides his angels to encamp around you and to be always bid you, you know, always bid you, continue, saved by grace and spared by mercy.
Amen. Amen. As we close, Pastor, what are some of the points that you think we can look forward to as we go through this? Throughout this whole week, we're going to be talking about these messengers. What are some of the highlights that we can look forward to and that we can, you know, expect as we go on with the conversation?
Maybe I would end with the Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 6. That says that the holy angels are unseen witnesses to our actions and even our words. The Bible says, "Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that it was an error." So God knows what you said. He knows what you wrote. The angels of God were witnesses to every word. Every lie, every falsehood has been recorded. And in the day of judgment, the angels will be the only truthful witnesses to every word and even the act.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 36 even say, "But say, I say to you that for every idle word many may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment." Why am I mentioning this? This is in the context of where we are waiting at. This is a broadcast, and it's supposed to live true to its word, to this term, that from broadcast to baptism.
Yes.
You know, it has to live true to its adage. Why? Because every idle word that men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Amen. So that's the trouble that you find yourself in. You people who work there at the Adventist World Radio.
Right.
You better mind. Yes, you better mind.
Absolutely.
You better mind.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it looks like our line has broken off right there, but I think that is a good place.
What way do you speak? Yes.
That's a good place for us to end. Thank you so much, Pastor Musa Gweza, for coming through and for sharing that word with us about, minding our words. That's how we've ended the conversation, minding our words, because we have a witness right beside us of every word that we speak, every word carelessly spoken, everything that we do. And on the one hand, it's beautiful to know that you have this lifelong friend by your side who's watching you, protecting you, guiding you, and sending you messages straight from the throne of God. And at the same time, it's also a little bit of a warning that in the very same vein, you have this person right next to you taking record of every single thing that you're doing. And so let's be careful to always recognize that we have this guardian angel that God has sent to each and every one of us, which I think is a very special thing. It's going to be a beautiful conversation that will continue throughout the rest of this week with Pastor Michael Musa Gweza. If you have any questions, if you've maybe had an encounter that you'd like to share with us with an angel, please make sure you do that on +27 734 703 520. We'll be right back after this.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.